Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Christmas Eve comes from our gospel reading of Luke. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not sure what caused you to brave the cold this evening and come in through these doors this Christmas Eve. I'm sure there could be a whole number of different reasons. For some, this is your church home, and there's no other place that you would be this evening, this Christmas Eve. For others, it's out of family obligation, or perhaps a sense of nostalgia. Christmases of your youth, spent hearing the story of angels and shepherds, of singing good old Christmas hymns that you just don't hear on the radio anymore. Maybe others are expecting something akin to a Hallmark Christmas movie. Whatever the case, you're here, and it is good that you are here. Mary and Joseph, they've found themselves in Bethlehem on a night like tonight, a couple of thousands of years ago, sent there because of some decree from Caesar that everyone needed to be counted. That's government in action right there, everyone to his home place, to the place of their ancestors. And isn't it amazing how God can reach into the temporal things of this world and direct them for his good purposes? And so pregnant Virgin Mary travels with her betrothed all the way down to the place of Bethlehem, house of bread, that's what that means in Hebrew, to the birthplace of King David. And housed within her own womb is her own little king, infant king, king of kings, matter of fact. And all of this foretold, of course, none of it done by accident. God had unfurled this plan throughout the ages, every once in a while dropping a hint here or there. Seed of a woman, that's from Genesis. Born of a virgin, that's Isaiah talking. All of it happening in Bethlehem, Micah tells us all about that. And there were many more along the way, too many to recount tonight. All of them culminating here, Christmas night. Angels singing to the most unlikely of audiences, to smelly, grubby shepherds keeping watch over the flocks by night. Charlie Brown and Linus tell us that one. And first, there was just one telling the trembling shepherds not to fear, for there's good news to be heard. Great joy for all people. Did you hear that? This good news is for all people everywhere. That could even mean you. Because unto you is born this day a Savior, Christ the Lord. And where shall they find this Savior? How shall they know it's him once they find him? He'll be wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, in a cattle trough, in the place of food for lowly creatures. Not the royal bassinet that everyone would assume, but then again, that's the way of our Lord. Nothing of this night, nothing of this birth, of this child looks the part, but there he is, in Bethlehem, in a manger. And notice here, too, in this first birth announcement, who this child actually is. He is a Savior. And then all of a sudden, wouldn't you know it, a great multitude of angels filling the night sky, singing glory to God in the highest. We got to sing that just a little bit earlier. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Even there, the angels speak of this Savior and his glory, a glory that will bring peace to this fallen world and to us broken sinners. For the glory that they sing is the glory of his salvation. And right here, I'm going to change directions. Get off the normal Christmas sermon highway. Take a hard left into the desert. Because so far, I've just been retelling the Christmas story, which is fine and good. But you could have stayed home and you could have done that for yourselves this evening. So we're going to try just something a little bit different, perhaps. Now, I know we would like to avoid talking about anything substantial on Christmas Eve. Better just to give the people what they want and let them go home and to all the festivities. And perhaps, though, maybe we should just take a moment to do so, even if it is a little bit uncomfortable. And maybe that's the point. Maybe it's uncomfortable because we don't talk about the things of substance on Christmas anymore. Or maybe never did. Maybe we've just gotten used to hearing the words of the angels, that we don't even stop and think about what those words even mean. And so we even will use language like peace and goodwill towards men and glory without even the slightest idea about how these things actually come into fruition, how they come and are given to you. They become generic and common and nonspecific, so much so that they get usurped by our favorite Christmas songs on the radio and those claymation television shows of our past. We're told to get into the Christmas spirit, but truth be told, I don't even know what that means, because nothing means anything anymore. And I hate to be cliche about it, but that big old guy in the red suit never fails to elbow his way into our lives in Christmas, even if we say that we don't believe in him. Because let's be honest, we really do. It's just the grown-up version of Santa, the one that secularizes everything and places a big old burden on our shoulders during this time. Or maybe it's not even Santa that we believe in, but his evil twin Krampus. He's the guy who threatens to tuck us away in a sack and throw us in a stew if we don't get everything done, if we don't make Christmas just perfect, if the right present isn't bought, if the Christmas dinner doesn't come out just right, if I didn't do everything that I was supposed to do in the exact way that I was supposed to do it at the exact right time that it was supposed to get done. How joyless have we made Christmas? I don't know about you, but this last Advent season has been one of the most distracting, uncomfortable, and stressful build-ups to Christmas that I've ever had. And I don't blame anybody except myself. I've been so focused on all the other things surrounding Christmas that everything's just become a giant checklist that I get to cross off once accomplished. Christmas party, check. Wrapping presents, check. Decorations, check. And don't get me wrong, all of those things are good. None of them are bad in and of themselves. It's just that I've turned them all into the most important thing for Christmas. I've placed them on top of the tree as the star. You see, even pastors screw up Christmas. And I know, I probably sound like I'm just rambling on and on here about my grievances that I have with this season. Sounds like I probably should be celebrating Festivus instead of Christmas, and I apologize for that. That wasn't my intention. I had intended to write a sermon, a brilliant sermon for you, one for the ages, one that you could all take home this evening and just ponder and ponder. But sitting down to write this thing, I just felt as if I had nothing left in the tank, nothing left to give, nothing left to offer. I've made Christmas a big deal, a giant deal about Christmas, so much so that I don't even care about Christmas anymore. And I know, this is not what you were expecting to hear on Christmas Eve, so I do apologize for that, but sometimes you do just have to lay it bare out there for all the world to see. And sometimes you have to be brutally honest with yourself and brutally honest with everyone else too. It's only fair that you get to know sometimes that your pastor fails at the things that he should be better at. Yeah, your pastor is a sinner too. And yes, I'm sorry for being such a Debbie Downer this Christmas. I hope that I haven't ruined it for you. Maybe I should have actually sat down and watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special this year. And that way I could have had Linus preach to me. Maybe that would have helped. Because in the midst of this Christmas pageant of my life, where it seems like everything is a failure and where I've placed importance on things that aren't really that important, without the true meaning of Christmas, Linus, there he does remind us of the true meaning of Christmas, doesn't he? Unto you, he says, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. A Savior born unto me, unto you. And he's Christ the Lord. Thank our Heavenly Father up above, for a Savior is exactly what I need. I need a Savior who's come into this world, a mighty Savior, a Savior who can actually save me from all of the trappings of this fallen creation, a Savior who can actually save me from all of the sin that I've engrossed myself in. I need a Savior who can save me from my ugly end, who can open the grave for me, who can promise me life in the face of death, a Savior who can actually save me from my own worst enemy, and that's myself. What I need is a Savior who can free me from the mess of this life that I've made, and not with pithy little catchphrases or fancy little ribbons and bows, but suffering along with me in the flesh. I need a God who won't stay locked up in heaven, but will come down to earth and will bring heaven with him. I need a God who won't shake his head at me every single time I stumble and fall, but will come and actually pick me up again and carry me when I have no strength left. And I need a God who will not be ashamed of me every single time I sin, but one who will, who already has taken each and every single one of those sins and claimed them as his own. I need a God who doesn't expect me to make amends for all of the times that I've screwed up, but has made amends already for me by going to the cross and paying that lifeblood price for all of my failures. I need a God who won't abandon me in the grave, but who has already sanctified it with his own 3-day rest and has bursted the chains that threatened to lock me in forever. This Christmas, goodness, every single Christmas, I need Luke to proclaim to me the Christmas story of Jesus in the manger, bringing peace between me, worthless sinner that I am, and God. I need the good news of a Savior for me, Christ the Lord, born this day, preached into my ears, and he was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give all of us second birth. Now maybe you're nothing like me, but who am I kidding? You're exactly like me, whether you admit it or not. So you hear again the words that each of us sinners needs to hear this Christmas Eve. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In the name of Jesus.